KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Women's Reproductive Rights Now on Sunday, October 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Sunnyside Community House, located at 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. Women's Reproductive Rights Now is an educational event to support activists fighting for reproductive rights. Speakers include Judith Arcana, Dr. Patricia Kohlberg, Reverend Emily Champagne, and Sally Castillo of Planned Parenthood. There will also be videos, tabling, food, and more. Again, that's Women's Reproductive Rights Now on Sunday, October 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Sunnyside Community House in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Food for the Soul on Saturday, October 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Tiffany Center in Portland. Food for the Soul is a potluck in the park benefit and will feature performances by Tom Grant, Michael Allen Harrison, Norman Sylvester, Shelley Rudolph, and Julia McKay. Potluck in the Park has been serving weekly meals every Sunday to anyone in need since 1991. Again, that's Food for the Soul on Saturday, October 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Tiffany Center, 1410 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7:01, and next is Combined Culture Radio. KBOO's programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Portland Five Center for the Arts, presenting the Soweto Gospel Choir Wednesday, October 17th at Arlen Switzer Hall, honoring Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday. More information online at portland5.com. That's Portland, the number 5.com.
All she needed was some.
At a Clippers game on the court side. Watch it shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more fire. Why these see you? Go home, Roger. Seeing Tamara in my bed, I'm a smart guy. I ain't fucking with you like a part-time. Nah, hit some, let's check my archive. I'm something so immaculate, instead of asking what's happening, rather blast a Jackson 5 in the back of an Acura, acting blacker than the Bernie Mac to Charlie Murphy's and Akon. The girls that you brought, man, where are they from? We were playing PlayStation. Why you standing there, say song? Girl, say song. No, this ain't a vacation. This is my house. All you need is some.
All she needed was bought a new bag, 8K. Wanna take shot? Yeah. When I ball, I'ma ball King James. Uncle Ben in my hand make chain. And I'm out of this world like Tang. Base bar, yeah. Man, I hate y'all. You only come around when you wanna play pool on my hot tub. Ice cream paint job in the garage. I murdered them. But afterwards it was awkward as hell. Cause I'm nervous as you cannot get it up. I need a minute, cold water to the face. I couldn't finish, got the Uber from a place on my porch. Hit with the Sunday paper, listening to the neighbors.
All she needed was some.
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 Hello, everybody, and good evening. Today, we have Combined Culture Radio, the Dell and Jalen version.
Yeah.
Holding it down over here. It is Wednesday, October 10th, and we got to see the sun today, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I know, me too.
Yeah. I mean, Dell, I don't know about you, but I've already been noticing that as we progress into these colder winter months, work gets a little bit harder, you know.
It does.
And keeping that motivation intact is a little bit harder because you don't have all the bliss that comes with the sun and all the energy and all that. And one of the common topics that's been coming up a lot in a lot of conversations I have with people is self-care, which is like a pretty popular topic nowadays, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm glad it is.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you particularly, you know, you take care of yourself pretty well in terms of just healthy eating habits and bodily care.
I'm glad you noticed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I peep it. me, on the other hand, you might catch me at Wendy's getting that 4 for $4 every now and then just because I don't have the time to eat. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the struggle of establishing like that routine of self-care and finding time for that. Yeah. So if you could get into it for me real quick, I just want to know, like, was there ever a time in your life, I don't want to get too personal, but where, you know, you actually weren't taking care of yourself, or like how you got out of that situation? Because I feel like a lot of people are definitely dealing with that right now, where they're struggling trying to get their own feet underneath them and start practicing healthy habits in their own life.
Yes. Well, absolutely. There was a time in my life where I was very unhealthy. That is the main reason why I am super healthy now, because my body kind of got to a point where I almost shut down. So I think that our culture and our society is not really focused on self-care. I think that there is this idea that we need to all kind of figure it out on our own and just pretend on a daily that we got it all, you know, figured out. And nobody is actually, my family didn't do self-care. My parents don't do self-care, and they really didn't know how to even express themselves, you know, in positive ways. So it's been like for me kind of a life journey to be able to find like, actually taking care of yourself, what is that, what does that look like, and what it's even for.
Yeah.
And I think like whenever I realized that self-care was actually listening to myself and to my needs, then that's when it actually started to make sense. But before that, I was just never really trying to listen to my body and to my needs. So I think this is just kind of why you know, it's taken and it takes people a very long time to get to self-care, because nobody teaches you really how to take care of yourself and how to and what to even why to even why should you even care about taking care of yourself. And so yeah, my body just kind of got to a place where I got a little too much Wendy's too. Hi, Victor. I got a little too much Wendy's, and then I mean, you know, like, not that Wendy's it's bad. I think it just is more the Binging, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That those kinds of, you know, eating thing, you know, push you towards.
I feel like just while we're on the topic of fast food, a lot of, like, because I really, if it's my number one choice, like, I do not choose fast food, just because I've taken a lot of body science classes and nutrition classes, and I know what it does to you, and, like, it's just terrible when you actually learn about what it does to your body, and, like, thankfully, like, the human body is pretty resilient, so, like, going a couple times is not going to kill you, but I found myself, like, at times in my life where, like, you'll just be working yourself like a dog to the bone, and you cannot find time to, like... Mm-hmm. To just sit down, or like the energy to sit down in your house and like just actually, well, first you got to get out of your house, go grocery shopping,
right.
Bring the food home and cook it, you know, like, and it's so tough to me. And I know, like, currently right now, my biggest issue I would say is like compromising between giving myself to other people and actually giving time to myself,
mm-hmm.
Which, like, you know, you don't want to be selfish with it, with people, you know. I get a lot of fulfillment and satisfaction out of either helping other people or just being around other people that I care about. I don't like just being around random strangers. I'm not the most extroverted person, but yeah, I don't know. It's like, for me, like, let's just say for like a typical weekend for Jalen, like, that's when I like to have my self care. But if my friends hit me up to go out, I'm not going to be like, no, because when I hit the weekday, I'm going to be like, man, I wish I would have hung out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you hit the weekday, you're working all the time, and then after work activities, whatever's going on, like, or if you're working after work, like, it's just hard to break that down and right. find that time. And, I mean, I feel like you're a pretty hardworking person. Do you have to, like, set up an actual schedule for yourself to...
Yeah, I prioritize self-care at this point in my life. Two years ago, I came down with an autoimmune disease where stress and poor diet kind of shut my body down. And so now my life evolves around myself. I know it sounds kind of like what you would say, selfish, but actually my body told me that I was spending, and I was getting all that satisfaction that you're talking about, working and being with people, but I had I was taking no time for myself. So I had to reprioritize completely. So now cooking for myself, preparing food in the morning is the first thing that I do. And I don't leave the house unless that's done and unless I've taken a walk.
Ooh,
so I get to walk to work late. But I work at Kebu, so.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to have a job at.
Yeah.
Victor, why don't you tell us a little bit about your self-care routine, man? What you got?
Well, it's funny because I was actually just talking to someone about this. I'm kind of similar to Dell's routine, at least in the morning. I have to eat breakfast. I can skip lunch. I can miss out on dinner. That's fine. But I have to have breakfast to get my day going. If I don't, more than likely, I'm already not getting enough sleep as I probably should.
Yeah.
So that's like my energy, at least for the first half of the day. And then I know I can buy... at least to help me wake up. And then by lunchtime, I'm normally fully awake and have a lot of energy. It's like I caught my second wind.
Yeah.
So yeah, breakfast is very important. I don't exercise as much as like I used to, especially when I was like in college. But if I can, you know, just get in like a basketball session a week and just do it for cardio. Don't even do it just for
you little bones. You
yeah. I was gonna say like I don't even at this point I don't even try to like get in on the basketball games like really for basketball.
Yeah,
it's for cardio.
Like, yeah,
because I mean I don't take it as seriously as I used to.
It's a more entertaining way to get your cardio in for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean you're running up and down the court with grown men. And it's like you know. So like yeah, the exercise whenever I can get it in because otherwise I won't do it voluntarily.
Yeah.
And I'm like same as you two is I like my personal space. I can be very introverted and when I am that's just like my time to have my thoughts and like explore those thoughts that I have because you know when you can just keep going and going and you don't have time to really sit down and think I feel like that can add a lot of stress and just like your energy. You don't have like that energy to be able to I help people pretty much throughout the entire day. So like I won't have that energy to like go in there with a smile on my face and like help that person to like my fullest potential. And like I feel like that just personal time is so important. And then I can be extroverted when I'm like performing or something, or like, you know,
for sure,
all the friends and everything. Yeah. So,
and I think that what you touch on with energy is so important, you know. And also what you're saying, like being alone with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of people find themselves unhappy, you know. They might just be sad and they can't figure out the source.
You know, I've had plenty of times, you know, where I've been, and I was just like that last week.
You just like, yeah, like you just be by yourself and you can't figure out the source of your sadness. And then like, I honestly feel like, I mean, I'm not an expert on psychology or anything, but like that, but it just doesn't make sense to just be sad for no reason. I feel like there's things that you repress just from like going through your work day that you just have to push down and you forget about it. And then it comes back up, like not as like a cognitive, like, thought that you actually process, but it's more of just an emotion.
Yeah.
And it comes at you and you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, like what you said, being alone with your thoughts is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've actually begun to practice a little bit more, because I found myself kind of getting not necessarily like, it is more of like repetitive states of mind. So like what I've actually tried recently is just writing down just whatever I'm thinking, or like whatever thoughts, and it might just be some nasty thoughts, just like just terrible things, but just getting it out. And like it's like the weirdest release. Like as soon as like I'm halfway done, I already feel like this weight's kind of come off my shoulder.
Yeah,
because it's not even a matter of talking to someone about it for me. It's more just like understanding it with myself. And when you actually put it into words on paper rather than just cycling through the thoughts in my head, it helps me just understand everything a lot better, and it's more of a release, you know.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, because I mean that kind of like translates with like my music, you know.
For
if
sure.
I can at least like write something, or even like listening to music, like it won't even have to be my song. Like I can get off work and I'll crank my music up. It's like I have to listen. If I'm feeling that way to where I need to release something, I have to listen to a song that I know the lyrics to.
Oh yeah,
because I don't know what it is.
You've
like
got to be able to jump
now
in.
That I can just it's like I'm letting loose, and like, you know, that whatever was like bent up or I don't know. It's just like whatever you feel like needs to be released at that time. At least because for me, music is like my therapy. Like that.
Yeah.
That's just all, you know, being released at that.
Have you actually? This happened to me a couple of times. Been like on your own, like kind of in a bad mood. It's you just listening to music, and then you somehow on the shuffle, like a upbeat song comes on. Like you wasn't even trying to be upbeat. You're just trying to indulge into like your own like sadness or whatever. Listening to some Drake, and then you just like you start singing the song, because it's maybe a song you haven't heard in a minute. And then you slowly like, man.
You're fighting it,
and then you just gotta jump into it. You're like, ah,
yeah.
That's definitely happened. It's kind of funny when that happens.
Yeah, because then it's like, dang, I really like this song, but I'm not supposed to be happy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You're declining your own happiness.
But see, that's the real thing. Is like, I feel like when I get in these mind states, it's like, because as I've talked to more people about it, I realize how common it is. Like, and I feel like that's a big part of it. Is like people don't talk about it because like they feel. Well, one, I feel like it is a personal experience, but it's so tempting to just indulge in and marinate in the negativity that like you might be like going through in your mind, just like the toxic thoughts.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, I mean, I'll catch myself just listening to like maybe sadder music.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, a big part of going through life is feeling like all human emotions and stuff like that.
Right.
And so like, I don't think you should always just be looking to like cover up sadness with happiness.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But
I feel like you have to embrace it.
Yeah, but at this, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's like, where is the turning point of like, or the line between like embracing it and, you know, trying to change it and make something better out of it, or you're just going like buying into it? and just kind of sinking back into this sunken place. And, you know, just like not really defeating it. You just kind of like let it absorb you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's that. That's when it becomes like personal to like everybody. It's, it's not like a definitive answer to where it's like, you know, if you did this, then that is the turning point.
I feel like that. It's a very gray area.
Right. It's because everyone, we may have like same type of emotions, but everyone like just deals with them differently. And you don't know, like some people may not know how to embrace the emotions that they may feel.
For sure.
You know, like some people may just automatically turn the sadness into anger. Or
it's very true.
Some people may oppress the sadness and be like, no, I'm fine, you know, and then force themselves to be happy.
Yeah.
So
that takes a lot of energy.
It does.
People don't like, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that till they have to do it. But like when you're going through something and you got to show up to work or wherever it might be, or to a family function or anything, you got to act happy. Like that takes so much energy. Right.
I feel like that like correlates to, you know, how, like when you're frowning, it uses more muscles in your face to frown than to smile. Yeah. I feel like that's like the same
it's
thing.
It's a similar
you
thing.
Know?
Yeah.
It's really interesting, the whole cognitive with emotions. Like the human brain is such a fragile thing in human anatomy. And like with just recent stuff, as far as say like mental health, like yesterday was Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yeah.
You know, and with like as far as mental health, like people bringing more awareness to it, especially people in powerful positions or like celebrities and everything like that, or even musicians rapping, singing, whatever, just talking more about it. It's pretty insane the amount of people who actually do deal with mental health issues.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Yeah, for sure.
Because you would, I mean, there's so many people.
I feel like it's pretty much everybody. Like,
I think so too.
I don't think anyone's out here just living a perfect life thinking that they're just the most awesome person or like, you know, just being completely complacent with like,
I feel like I'm sure everybody too.
I mean, everyone has their moments for sure. Like I have my moments of just complete bliss where I'm just like, man, this is like, if I could just have this moment forever, you know? And then, you know, I mean, that's just part of life. You have your ups and downs.
Right. And then I was also thinking today, it was just a random thought. You know how they say like seasonal depression, it's rare and it's like only 1 in 10 people have. I feel like that's completely false.
That's, I don't know where they did that study.
But I don't know where they did the study either, but it's very real. And I feel like there are way more people than just that 1 in every 10 people that deal with it. I mean, especially, I feel like in places such as the Pacific Northwest.
I'll say maybe it's because 1 in 10 people live in seasonal areas.
Right. That's because like it was just still like 80 degrees in Virginia, and then you have like in California, they've been in the 70s, you know, the temperature dropped, but I mean, it's they still have sun.
Not, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then like we're in Pacific Northwest where soon as September hit, we were in fall. Well, like soon as fall season actually started, then like we were in fall. And it's like, and then we had a lot of rain or just like gloomy days. And I'm like thinking about as far as Portland, Seattle, and like, you know, with Seattle being like one of the most suicidal cities and things like, you know, I think that applies to way more people than just
for sure. And you know what? Like I've really thought about that a lot. Just like the whole seasonal thing. And In my head, I always try to like be, you know, I try to think of myself like as like in the future, like I want to be this or that, right? And when it comes to happiness, like I want my happiness to not depend on things I can't control,
right?
You know what I mean? And having the weather cause that like reaction in someone, I feel like, I mean, for me personally, it might be different for other people, but it means that like it kind of undoes the veil of like happiness, you know, and you get to see like real life and address real problems and stuff like that. And it brings to light ironically, when the light goes away. Someone write this down.
Bars.
Anyways, it brings to light like a lot of like the issues that you might have just been like shooing away in the summertime when you're just running around doing activities. Because I mean, running around doing activities and like going swimming and all that, and yeah, going to water, that's all fun stuff for sure.
Right.
And I feel like it's essential for life. But like in terms of that day in, day out, like mindset of being happy, which like mm-hmm. you're never going to be able to be happy every single day. Like that's right. just an unrealistic goal. Yeah. But like it's something, it's not to say you can't work towards it, you know?
Right.
And I like to think, you know, like what scenario could I be in my life
mm-hmm.
where it's rainy outside and I'm still happy?
Right.
Because I've had those days.
Yeah.
Me you too. Know? And it's yeah. like, how do you get to that point?
Right.
And I feel like that's one thing that like living in the Northwest challenges you to do. Mm-hmm. And like Tevin's mentioned before, it's like people out here really know how to grind, because like we have to work through these months where like not everything's pretty and shiny.
Right.
And you can just walk out and be like, oh, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
You know? Which yeah. like is pretty, I've learned is actually a pretty subjective term, because I know people who actually like the rain and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is just insane.
I like, think so too. I mean, like I don't.
I see beauty in. I see beauty in it. Don't get
yeah,
me wrong.
Yeah.
Like I could see the beauty in a lot of things, but like
this in terms when of it's just like drizzling. Calid, it, but like when it's just full
yeah,
on.
Yeah. It's like right. Like, what like?
No, I'll pass.
Like I think it's just because of my experience growing up, where like I'd be playing football and just be out in the cold,
yeah,
freezing my fingers off.
I think that's why I don't like the cold.
And I honestly think that's outside. What affected me so bad, because I was yeah. just like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can't dress warm in football. Like,
no.
There's no way.
No,
like,
that's
all you got is your shoulder pads,
long sleeve.
Yeah, that's all you could do.
Yeah, that's the most you can do. Because you couldn't wear hoodies on the sideline. So.
Dell's saying we should run. You don't run if you play on the bench, Dell.
Sorry.
When you ride the bench, you don't run. I'm kidding.
Sounds so depressing.
Jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks. Yes, I did. Sure. Like, if I was, especially like, you know, you're on offense and the defense is on the field, or
yeah.
vice versa, and you got to just wait. And then it could be a long drive, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's way too cold. Or just even in the stands during the football games.
I don't go to football games. I don't
care. Oh, no. I mean, like, the last time I've been at one was in high school. I don't think, because we're like.
You had to go in high school.
Yeah.
It was putting on.
In college, yeah, I mean, our football team wasn't good enough to
really
do it. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. If we did, it would be that. If it was cold when I was at a game in college, then it was sunny earlier in that day, and we just had some really.
Yeah, just got unlucky. Got caught in it.
Yeah. And then start thunderstorming. Like, that actually happened a couple of times. But yeah, I would like to work towards that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting mindset to just like actually challenge yourself to think like,
yeah,
on the like, if you could take all the contributing factors to you having a happy day that you can't control, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you could take those and make those a worst case scenario, and picture a scenario where you're still happy in that,
yeah,
you know, I mm-hmm. feel like that's a good challenge to like work towards that place, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, well, you can only control the things that are in your control,
right?
But yeah, on that note, you know, we're going to transition to our music break. But yeah, y'all think about that. Self-care.
Self-care.
Mental health. Get jiggy with it.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. That's it, now honey, honey, come ride. TKNY, all up in my eye. You got a rider, bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend, let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing a kid. Wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Sick a cigar right from Cuba Cuba. I just bite it, it's for the look, I don't light it. It'll weigh the ammo on the hand, stay on play. Give it up, jiggy, make it feel like foreplay. Yo, my cardio is infinite. Big Willie Styles all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. What? You on the ball with your kid? Watch your step, you might fall trying to do what I did. Mama, mama's, I'ma come close side in the middle of the club with the rubber dub. No love for the hate.
haters, the haters mad cause I got floor seats at the Lakers. See me on the 50-yard line with the Raiders. Met Ali, he told me I'm the greatest. I got the fever for the flavor of a crowd pleaser. DJ play another from the president, your highness. Only bad chicks riding my whip. South to the west, to the east, to the north. Bump my hips and watch them go off, but go off. But yes, yes, sure, and you don't stop. In the winter order,
summertime.
I makes it high, getting jiggy with them. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. 850 IS if you need a lift. Who's the kid in the drop? Who else will slip? Living that life, some consider a myth. Rock from South Street to 125th. Women used to tease me, give it to me now nice and easy. Since I moved up like Georgia Wheezy. Cream to the maximum, I'll be asking them. Would you like to bounce with your brother that's platinum? Never see Will attacking them. Rather play ball with Shaq and them. Flatten them, like getting. Thought I took a spell, but I didn't. Trust the lady of my life, she hitting. Hit her with a drop top with the ribbon. Crib for my mom on the outskirts of Philly. You trying to flex on me? Don't be silly. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
Like that song just reminds me of summer,
right? That, like, I think that's why I was playing it, because I was like, take me back, hashtag take me back.
Right? Can we go back just like
real quick,
a month and a half? Maybe this summer just went by too fast.
It did, man. That's what happens when you're working full time.
That's
summer,
true.
And it's just that's it slips true. Through your fingers. You keep saying next weekend I'm gonna go on this hike. Next weekend, yeah. Oh nope, next weekend I'm gonna go. Right. It's like
I didn't even get a beach trip this summer.
Nope, neither did I.
Oh my gosh. I got a beach trip like this year, but it was like earlier in the year.
I mean, I was in Cabo, so I for sure.
Oh yeah, and I'm going next week, so. Yeah. I guess that's my beach trip.
I mean, I went to LA and
I did too. We like went to the same places this year, but like at different times.
That's weird.
That's really weird.
Really weird.
Yeah, because you went LA. Or no, I went to LA and then you went to LA.
I went to Cabo. Back in March.
Yeah, I'm about to go to Cabo. That's sweet.
Yeah.
We went to Seattle several times.
We did go to Seattle several times.
That's like the only place we went.
Shout out to SeaTac, man. Yeah. That's a cool town.
It is. Only like when it's nice outside, though.
Oh, yeah.
No. When the weather is...
Bro, because I swear they get rain on a different level. Yeah. Because I see some new rain up there.
Yeah,
bro.
Like, no, I don't know. Maybe the rain is bigger. I don't know.
I think
raindrops are bigger,
they have
bro.
A slightly different elevation, and due to the plate tectonics, when, they got slightly bigger water droplets.
You were...
I don't know if that made sense. It didn't.
Well, I just almost called you a meteorologist, but that's not the word. What's those people that like actually study
bro,
this
I covered
stuff?
Like three different fields in that one statement.
Wow, you did. You did. I did. I was trying. There's a term for the people who study like the plate tectonics and stuff. Like
yeah, those are
I can't
geologists.
Remember. Geologists. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yep.
I'm smart.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Shout out to that. I feel like I haven't heard that word since like middle school. So
right. On a lighter note, though, from what we were talking about before the music break, I wanted to get into some music stuff, man.
Music talk is always good.
We love music here at Come On Culture Radio.
Correct.
Recently. What was it, like 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? Oh, man.
Yeah, 2 weeks
I always
weeks ago.
Like when I overestimate because it makes time feel slower. Lil Wayne.
Yes, Dwayne Carter.
He dropped the Carter 5, highly anticipated album.
Yes.
Rumored to be his last studio album of his career.
I don't think so, though.
Yeah, of course.
There's not. No way. Maybe I mean, under like Cash Money, maybe.
I don't know. I could see him just doing a bunch of mixtapes from here on out, but I wouldn't be mad if he just ended with the Carter Five, but what are your thoughts on this one?
I love the album. So here's my thing. He didn't announce the track list prior to it dropping. There were a lot of fake track lists just circling around the internet. So I was like, I was a little unsure. But the way he announced it made me feel a little bit confident that it was going to be a solid album. But I still kept my expectations low because we know that he started recording it at least 4 years ago.
Which 4 years ago, Lil Wayne was...
a lot different.
Well, a lot different.
Yeah. You know, like you...
He was at the peak of me not liking him.
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't making great music at the time like we were used to. So, yeah, you know, you start making tracks 4 years ago and then you drop that album and like...
Which is insane because we only hear about Lil Wayne, you know, never writing stuff down, just right. One take.
Right.
So to hear that he's been working on this for so long is like you really don't know what to expect.
Exactly. And then it's like you have a combination of track. Oh, well, what he said in his announcement video, he had mentioned that he had been working on it a long time, and then he said up until now. So it's like, okay, so you have some new content on here. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. And then the album dropped, 23 tracks. First one is not really a song, it's a skit. So technically 22 tracks. And I mean, the way the album just starts out with a skit from his mom, you know, you hear him talk about his mom a lot, but we had never really heard her, you know, since like a while ago. So I mean, hearing his mom say how much Wayne has done for her and how much she loves him and everything like that, and it was like very emotional. She's crying at the end of the skit and it's like, what are we about to get into? This is something that I was not prepared for. And then the first song, Don't Cry, and he's talking about his mom, and it's like, that was the perfect transition. You literally have her crazy. Crying at the end of the skit, and the song is called Don't, the first lyrics even sung Don't Cry. So I'm like, okay, this may actually be a good album. Like the way you just open up an album like this, like this may be pretty good.
He hasn't done anything like that before.
I feel like not like as far as like with a skit and then a song, you know, I don't really think so. Maybe since like the Carter 2, he has some personal songs on there. But yeah, that was like, for me, that was like the perfect opening. And then just like getting throughout the album, like this next song was Dedicate, and you just have bars, and it's like, okay, this is old Wayne, you know, like this is.
And I think that was a big thing for like, for a lot of his fan base was like,
I think so too.
They were just like, man, where's like old spitter Lil Wayne that just like would just spit bars, not trying to be too extra,
right?
With like just his vocals, just literally rapping, you know.
And we haven't really heard like a high quality Wayne in a while, like nobody really knew what type of Wayne we were getting with this album.
I actually mentioned this the episode before the album dropped. I said, I think it's gonna be fire, and we're gonna see some of his old ways. Because if you really pay attention, like, and I don't even pay attention to Wayne that much, but like a lot of the features he was in, you started to see like him reverting back to like his more fundamental style of rapping, and like actually bringing it back to the basics. If you pay attention closely, just like the features he was in, I already was getting excited for the album when it came out, because I was like, I know he's not gonna just like do some weird pop stuff or like try to cater to like some new demographic like he did for a lot of like his career in like the later like early 2010s, you know.
Seeing with how many tracks there were,
that scared me too.
Just because I was like, he might try to do too much, you know. But as the album went on, like you had like the Dedicate, that was literally just like pattern rhyming, and I was just mind blown. Especially once I read the lyrics, I was like, okay, yeah, he's nice. Yeah. He's still nice. And then Uproar with Swiss Beats. So then you have like another song with bars, but then he ended up making that into a challenge, and then like it didn't really take off like the In My Feelings challenge, but I mean it still got some buzz. Got some traction. Then that just helps the song. And then you got like other songs where he gets into really personal stuff.
Well, yeah, and that was what was interesting for me about this album was like, I mean, we talked about this a little bit when it first came out too, just me and you, mm-hmm. but like, just seeing like personal life, Lil Wayne, and songs like you said, he has some personal songs before, but to see like the level of detail you're going to and the mm-hmm. storytelling that he was doing, that was different.
Yeah, it was, and it I was mean, and like, that's also, like that was another thing. Like we haven't heard that kind of Wayne since Carter Two. I mean, Carter Three for him was kind of like a victory lap. Because he was already at the top of the game by Carter III, yeah. You know, so like that, and then he had those slew of mixtapes, and yeah, so Carter III, that was just like, I still got it. And I'm the king of the rap,
and we did get to see some mixtape Wayne on this album.
Yeah, too. That's what I'm saying. Like with the
we got a nice compilation of like the best Wayne.
Exactly. So I feel like exactly. Dash. Like
with
there
some
was
with some maturity in it too.
Yes, and then that was one thing that I loved about the album. Especially with the more personal songs, like with Open Letter, he openly talks about contemplating suicide. And it's like, mm-hmm. we had never heard of anything like that from Wayne, you know? Yeah. We weren't expecting that. He talked about previous relationships, and there was one song, Perfect Strangers. That was one.
That was
a really good song. What about me? I thought that song was like actually kind of funny. Just because, like, now he's on the other side of maybe stuff that he's talked about in the past with like his relationship. Like he's saying this girl's giving other guys attention, but what about me? But you know, like older Wayne would have been on the other side of that, yeah. and giving other girls attention, and the exactly. girls wonder about what about me, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some vulnerability shown for sure. And I, like as I listen, like the more I listen to the album, the more I like it, just yeah. because even though it's 23 songs, and we did discuss this, like 23 songs. Normally, like any other artist, if they release the album at this time in this day and age with 23 songs, I won't listen to the whole album. Yeah. But with Wayne not releasing a studio album in when did Carter IV drop?
Man,
that was like 2011.
What?
I think it might have been like 2011.
Yeah.
So I mean, like with him not dropping a studio album in that long,
that's
23 songs.
That's 7 years.
Yeah, 23 songs are 22 songs. I mean. That I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean for sure. But like I would say, my perspective has changed a lot on the topic of like songs per album. And I know, I mean, you can't just throw this advice I'm about to say out there because people will just abuse it. But like,
yeah.
for me, it's like however long it takes to make you feel like your project is finished. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I don't believe in like if you're gonna be an artist, like I don't think you should ever really be concerned about track numbers. It should be more about, I mean, unless you're really concerned about the business side of things, but
right.
for me to enjoy album, if you want Jalen Ladd to like your album, I want you to put, which is very important.
It's so
way,
important.
I have very
yeah, top critic,
very
in the
valuable
world.
Opinion.
Yes,
I get paid a lot of money yeah. to talk about. No, I'm kidding. but no, like I think if you just value over like having a project and however many tracks that takes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
If you do that project in three tracks, little EP, small yeah. little, just boom.
And you cool. feel like that's what completes
like
it?
A little haiku, like type of thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and then some might be like a novel. Like, you might
right.
have like multiple albums that you have to drop that complete
right.
one whole project, you know?
And he could have probably had hundreds of songs.
Oh, easily. You know? And I bet this was hard because we know he has a vault like no other. Like,
right. and so for it to only be, you know, that long, like he could have made what I was just listening to Chance the Rapper. He was on Joe Budden podcast like this past Saturday, and he was mentioning how he treated this album as like a double disc album.
Yeah,
I was like,
I mean it, no, I definitely
it pretty
saw
much
that. The first
is.
Time I heard it was I got that because it starts off pretty like really low, like kind of like
it's like a roller coaster,
yeah,
you know,
and then Yeah, it's an interesting album. I for sure have to listen to it a few more times through to actually gather all my thoughts on it. But my only critique on the album, and this was just from a first time listen, was just from listening to it all the way through, there wasn't enough variation in the beats for me, just from a production standpoint. And like, they were all very good, don't get me wrong, but like, I feel like they all carried the same tone, you know.
So there was a portion of the album, it's like, and it's like closer to purpose, the, like, it's closer to the end where I felt like some songs, like, they're very skippable. Like, so like the first, I can listen to like the first 10 songs. All of you, so yeah, Don't Cry, Dedicate, Uproar, Let It Fly. And you can tell, by the way, that Let It Fly song was dated because Travis Scott doesn't sound like that anymore. Yeah. I feel like he should have just
redone that.
Yeah, had Travis Scott at least, like, the verse was fine, but the chorus, it didn't sound good. It either could have been mixed again, or he could just had Travis redo it and probably could have made it sound even better. Anyway, Can't Be Broken, Dark Side of the Moon. Dark Side of the Moon is actually becoming one of my favorite songs on the album. Like, Nicki Minaj, her singing, you could tell it was...
That was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, caught me off guard. Just like, I don't know, I would have never thought of her and Wayne harmonizing, and like her voice sounded really good on the song. So
it confused me.
Yeah.
I didn't know she could sing like that.
And she can, but she doesn't do it often. And I don't know if it's because of...
I don't know if she can't perform that. Maybe she can't perform it.
Might not be able to. Because you can tell that there was some editing and like pitch correction and everything. But that's just what I have an ear for.
Yeah,
so like, not everybody's going to catch that. Other people may hear it and like, yo, this is amazing. I mean, like, I thought the same thing. I thought it was amazing. But that's like becoming one of my favorite songs. I mean, just because of like the content, and then how it just effortlessly flows like between Wayne and Nicki, and like how they trade off on the chorus. And
yeah,
love that song. Mona Lisa with Kendrick, the storytelling in that song is amazing.
Ridiculous.
That song is also dated. That song, I think they recorded that in like 2015 or something like that.
Dang, that's like...
But that song, for as far as like the mix of it, it sounds really good. It doesn't sound like a dated mix. Only reason you know that it's old is because people just know that they recorded that song together a while ago. What About Me and then Open Letter. Once it gets to that song with his daughter, I just don't like that song. Problems. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Problems is a cool song. But that's okay. So this is when the beats start to sound the same. You got Problems, the song with Snoop, Hit Us. Took His Time, I like that song. God Took His Time When He Made Me, I like that song. He got a DJ Mustard beat on there. But this was like the old DJ Mustard beat. This was like back in the day. Like, it's kind of like one of those when he was making like radio hits.
Four notes.
Yeah.
Boom.
When he was making radio hits for everybody. Yeah, that's what it is.
That was
Song with Ashanti. That, you know, that song
is dated. I'm so glad he brought Ashanti back.
Yeah. You know that song is dated, but I mean, that song is one of the best songs on the album.
I wanted to divert away from the quarter.
Oh, what's up?
I wanted to talk about this Trip song by Ella.
Oh, LMI? Or LMA. LMA. Yeah.
So, I don't listen to LMA. And I don't really listen to Jacquees. But I've been hearing all this business about, because I mean, I know Jacquees' style, like, he'll, you know, I listen enough to know style, and like, he's a big, like, he's honestly, like, if you were to take like a singer from back in like the early 2000s and bring him to now and take advantage of social media and stuff now,
pretty much,
like, that's my summary of him from what I feel like.
I don't think he can really sing that well. But anyway, so
so she had this song that, from what I've heard, is pretty good.
Yeah. Oh wait, you never heard this song before?
I haven't heard this song.
But it's really good.
This is my homework. This is my homework tonight.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
But I've just been seeing so much about it, and I'm like, I need to discuss this with the expert.
Yeah. That's me.
And I just want to get some opinions on it. So pretty much what happened, y'all, is there's a song that came out by LMA, and singer Jacquees decided to remix it on his own terms, didn't ask permission or anything like that.
Correct.
And Jacquees' version gathered extremely, like significantly more traction than LMA's. Like,
correct,
it blew up and the internet was going crazy. And then, since it was getting so much attention, they took it down.
Yes, from and everywhere.
Everywhere, like you cannot find this song. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty hard to find this song.
Yes, people are like, people were recording, like screen recording the video on YouTube and then reposting it on Twitter.
It's intense to see the lengths that people are going to to keep this content around. And my like, I don't know, I'm caught in a real weird dilemma of like, is this like right? What's right and what's wrong? You know, is Jacquees wrong for deciding to do remix? Because he's done this in the past plenty of times.
And right? he's currently on, because he called it his Quamix, I don't know, whatever it is, but he does these mixtape series where it's just all remixes of songs.
Yeah.
Now, my stance on it is that he's in the wrong because he pushed a song, made a music video for it, and spread it over social media pretty much as if the song was his. And what makes this wrong
So are the lyrics different?
They are.
Okay.
They are. He does.
So it just has the same instrumental.
Right. I mean, some of the lyrics are the same, like on the chorus, but then like for the most part, he switches up the lyrics. And what's wrong about it is that not only did he push the song as if it was his and promote it, but he also did this while LMA was actively pushing this as her single and her label.
Yeah.
So it's like you. Plenty of people have remixed other people's songs,
but it's usually way after.
Right, exactly. You can't push a song as your own when that person
is still pushing
that song, you know, and her album is about to come out on Friday. And so, like, they kind of had no choice. And I don't know lawfully if they can, but I feel like she should sue because that took away. Now people believe that his version is better than her version.
Yeah.
So that's possibly taking away her money. And then he's performing his version at wherever. I just saw a video of him performing it. So that means he's making profit off
of a
song.
Yeah, you're not allowed to get performance royalties off of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, with YouTube and all the views he had on there, that's monetization.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you don't own that song.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're looking into it and haven't really fully prepared something. Maybe they're more focused on her album release, which will make sense. But I just don't think that he should have been able to do that. And, I mean, I'm glad that they took down his version. It's like, and I don't understand why no one on his team is saying anything. Because, like, that could be a really big lawsuit if they really felt like that hindered the success of the single.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, Booed Up, that went like multi-platinum. Who knows? Right, like, oh, it's crazy, a whole year later. And who knows, like, if the same thing could have happened to Trip. I mean, Trip, it took, like, Trip is getting its play, but I do feel like it's going to be one of those songs that just organically, you know, gets more plays. Like, because I mean, nowadays, singles can be hit or miss. Like, you can either drop it, it's a hit right away, everybody's playing it, or you can drop it, nothing, drop it, and it just takes a long time for it to really catch on.
It'll just show up in like one viral video or something like
and
that.
And then all of a sudden, it's the number one song or it's just creeping up Billboard charts.
Like, one of like the most interesting once for me was the Mannequin Challenge.
Black Beatles.
Black Beatles.
Because like that song wasn't.
It wasn't even called Black Beatles at first, was it?
No, it was.
Yeah, I thought it was called a different name.
No, it was Black Beatles, but it was just that people thought the song was called the Mannequin Challenge.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, but yeah, because I remember that album dropped. Like,
it had been dropped. The like, song
for a while, and then like
I'm trying to remember if the song was a single yet. Because there have been some times where, like, I mean,
no,
with the
song was on the album,
right? But I don't think it was a single yet.
Oh,
is what I'm saying. And it kind of forced them to make it a single, you know, because weird.
Like a reverse
process. Right? Because that's like, well, with the In My Feelings, that wasn't a single yet.
But yeah, But no, get back on track though.
Yeah.
I wanted to compare though that situation to like kind of like what Drake received critique for a few years ago when he's remixed Drum's song.
See, I feel Cha-cha. Like I feel like
which
that's
is different because they changed the instrumental and everything. Yeah, but, you know,
it was the idea.
That idea, which you know. Everything comes from something, you know.
Like, right, and I mean Drake, he had a sample from an old song. Cha-Cha had a sample from a video game.
Yeah,
you know, so it's, but then essentially it's like the same melody, and it's the same tempo.
Yeah. I don't know, but like regardless, like talking about that, like you know, I don't know if Jacquees Nestle knew he was in a position of power to like override LMA, but
I think he did.
You think
I'm sure he was surprised at how successful it was, though, because he's still going. Like he just dropped like a remix to Jaded Drake song, and then he's doing like the Daniel Caesar some Daniel
Caesar
song.
He's gonna play himself out eventually.
And I was just saying to some other people, I like Jacquees with his situation. People care more about his remixes than his actual music, and that's completely his fault.
They don't want to be in that place.
That's completely his fault.
Yeah.
And he's like still feeding into it. It's like nobody's really asking for these, you know. Like just continue to release
really
your
asking for
right.
These.
Continue to release your original music because like he's doing like what people did in the mixtape era, you know.
Yeah.
That was a big deal, you know. That like all R&B singers was dropping remixes of different songs, you know. But now it's like nobody really cares that much at this point. Like we just want to hear, just because music consumption is so low and people just want to hear your original music and then like keep it pushing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And I mean, he did release an album earlier this year, and then he released a bonus track version just like last month or maybe 2 months ago. So I don't know. I feel like his team needs to tell him to pull it back a little bit. I mean, it looks like he's still going
to
release
remixes,
this third version.
To me, remixes get just played out after a while.
I think
and,
so too.
And it's like one of those things you should only be doing once in a while.
And I feel like he should have just reached out to her and been like, "Hey, can I get on the official remix or something?
And
like, let's work something." Because it could have been
even more. They could have just waited, and then she could have got her bag off of that, and then afterwards he could have dropped that,
exactly.
And then he could, because he's not getting that much money off of it since they had to take it off of everything.
Exactly,
could have got official check from him.
Exactly,
and it's like, I don't know, simple things that could have just been done with the conversation.
It really could have. And now I feel like he looks dumb at the end of this all. And I mean, like Tory Lanez used to do this all the time. He used to remix songs all the time too, but. I mean, like Controller was really big. His Controller remix.
I don't like Tory Lanez because I don't think he can sing either.
Yeah, a little bit. His. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's gonna be our in-car conversation.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's just that the whole remix thing is a really tricky situation. But I just don't think that when an artist is pushing
you
that
consent.
Song,
you have to get consent. And,
yeah.
Unless like you're that small of an artist.
Right.
But,
and he kind of is. I don't know.
I mean, he has a resource to reach out there, but
exactly.
Regardless, you know, in summary, you know, we're gonna close out here, heading towards the top of that hour.
Correct.
Reminders, you know, self care, treat yourself every now and then.
Always
practice good habits.
Yep.
A lot easier said than done. So really take the time to try to work on yourself, people. And you know, live your life to the fullest.
Always.
Right? Like
always.
You know, bring that sunshine in your life. Don't wait for the seasons to change.
Wow. That was very like prophetic.
That was.
Like
anyways.
That was good.
We'll close this out with some Dom Kennedy. Y'all have a good night.
It's plenty in the lobby. They all drinking, they this my type of party. My car just pushed and started. But I don't even want to start it. These Versace shades are retarded. Buy your apartment. I'm buying out the department. It's changing all the compartments. Switch lanes on in charge. Switch chains on went hard. I hang with on the Dodgers. I hang with that rob. I came with next squad. So you don't want no problems. You don't want no problems. You don't want no problems. You don't want no problems.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the screening of Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution, on Sunday, October 21st at 7:30 at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution gives one answer to the question, what happens when the community you need is not the community you have? Queer Core shows the development of the movement through the rise of artists who used radical queer identity to push back equally against gay assimilation and homophobic culture. The film features Bruce LaBruce, G.B. Jones, John Waters, Tom Jennings, Team Dresch, and many more. Again, that's the screening of Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution, on Sunday, October 21st, 7:30, at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I don't know if I know all the words or not, but I'm going to try to sing it for you.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KBOO is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KBOO will be hosting Wild in the Streets on Wednesday, November 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. A freaked-out 60s exploitation movie, Wild in the Streets follows Max Frost and the Troopers, a psychedelic rock band that managed to take over the United States after the voting age is lowered to 16. The new regime legalizes all drugs, puts everyone over 30 into acid re-education camps, and creates a new hippie fascist utopia. Again, that's Wild in the Streets on Wednesday, November 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.